Abraham, a portrait of obedience. This is an exposition of Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 through 24. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, December the 5th, 2012.
Obedience. It's one of those words that can leave a bad taste in your mouth. There are some people who just don't like the word at all, because it implies things like submissiveness, and you're under someone else's direction, you're under someone else's thumb. For a lot of people, obedience just leaves a bad taste in their mouth. The word kind of sticks in their throat when they try to say it. Some people, it doesn't stick in their throat, it just sticks in their craw. I mean, they just don't like to be obedient, because that says someone else is calling the shots. Someone else is in control, and they're just not fond of that. But the truth of the matter is, we may desire to be the captain of our own soul. We may be the one who wants to pilot our own destiny. But we have to recognize, if indeed there is a God, then He's in charge and we're not. Part of understanding what deity is that God is sovereign, that He rules and He reigns. And as creator and as sovereign Lord over all things, He is in charge, and we're to do His bidding. So obedience does become an issue. To obey means to follow a command or to follow guidance. To be obedient is to be submissive, to be under the command or the authority of another. It is to live in submission, and that's another one of those words. To submit, the word means to line up under or to live under. Yet that characteristic that is shunned by so many folks in general culture is to be the hallmark of the people of God. As Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, what is to mark us, set us apart as different and distinct from the general culture around us, is that we are a people under orders. That we are a people who walk in obedience to the commands of another. That we recognize that Jesus is Lord. The fundamental confession of the Christian life is not Jesus is my personal Savior, but that Jesus is Lord. And to submit our lives to Him and to demonstrate in the way that we live and our attitudes and everything else that He is in control. I'm not talking about being a doormat. I'm not talking about, well, that just means that you get to get run over and that you're just to follow along blindly at whatever said. I'm talking about biblical obedience, an obedience that recognizes that God is sovereign, that He is powerful, that He has the right to rule. He is the authority that we acknowledge, but also we understand His heart, that He is good, that He is loving, that He is merciful, that He is kind. And when we understand that, we understand it's not just by brute force, but it's in loving submission to a loving, caring, gracious God who wants the best for us, that we learn to submit and to walk in obedience before Him. It's the kind of obedience that's reflected in the life of Abraham, the man of faith. In fact, if heaven were to produce a dictionary, if you turn to the word obedient, he'd probably have his picture. He's the poster child for obedience. He is the man of faith. He is the father of faith. Was he perfect? No. Did he make mistakes? Boy, did he make some mistakes. But the key characteristic of the life of Abraham was that he obeyed. That he responded in faith and obedience to the call and to the command of God. And he did so against incredible odds. God called on him to do some very difficult things, and yet he was willing to obey. This God who was unknown to him called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, to leave everything that he had known, his family, his culture, his lifestyle. You leave all that, go to the desert, just keep going and I'll tell you when you get there. And he left. He obeyed the command of God. God later came to him and his barren wife and said, "You're going to be the father of a great multitude." And he believed. Took a lot of faith. God told him to sacrifice his own son. And he obeyed. Didn't understand it all. Didn't understand how that fit with the promise of God that it was going to be through this son, this unique son, that the nations of the earth were going to be blessed. How does that fit with now offer this child in sacrifice? It didn't make sense, and yet he obeyed. That's why he's called the father of faith. It's why he's the poster child of obedience. Our text tonight, Genesis chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 15 down through verse 24. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Now after these things it was told to Abraham, "Behold, Milcah has also borne children to your brother Nahor. Uz his firstborn, Buz his brother, Kemuel the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jiblaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel fathered Rebekah. These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, Abraham's brother. Moreover, his concubine, whose name was Reumah, bore Tabah, Gahim, Tahash, and Makeh." So here we have this account of God's blessing, and then the blessing is extended, and some of those that are born to his family. As we walk through this passage, in particular 15 down through 19, we're going to be reminded that Abraham is a portrait of obedience. He provides for us the example of what it means to be obedient. The text reveals God's response to Abraham and the fact he obeyed. And the response is God reaffirmed the promises made earlier. He restated them. In fact, he intensifies it because he says, "I swear by myself." The promises God made to Abraham about blessing the nations of the earth and his seed being central to the entire plan of God was a one-way promise. You remember back when God entered into covenant with Abraham on this matter, that God caused a sleep to come on Abraham. He didn't participate in the covenant ceremony. In the ancient world, when you cut a covenant, and that's what it was called cutting a covenant. And the reason it was called cutting was that they would take an animal and they would cut it in half and they would lay it open. And then the two parties, once they've reached this agreement, they would then walk between those two pieces. In so doing, they were saying, "May this happen to me if I don't fulfill my end of this responsibility. May I be cut apart. May I be destroyed. May I die if I don't live up to this agreement." But in this case, God caused a sleep to come on Abraham. He did not walk through. God went through alone, because God was saying, "Abraham, I'm going to do this. Period." The same thing here. He's coming back to reaffirm it. And he says, "I swear by myself, this is what's going to happen." Now, why does that matter? Why is that important? It's important because we need to understand that it's not Abraham's obedience that brings this about. It's God's faithfulness that brings it about. And I say that because we live in a culture, and even in the church, especially in the American church today, you hear a lot of teachers, a lot of preachers in the word of faith area who say, "I'm sure glad that Abraham obeyed God and offered his son, because if he didn't, Jesus never could have come and salvation could have never been a reality." There's only one problem with that. There's only one thing wrong with that interpretation, and that is it's wrong. And it's wrong because God says, "I will do this," period. He didn't say, "Abraham, if you do everything I command you to do, then I'll do this." He said, "Abraham, I will do this. I swear by myself, I will accomplish this. But it's important that we do understand obedience in that context, that as God has promised and as God is faithful, then I walk in obedience to what He commands me to do. Out of love and out of my devotion to Him, I obey His voice. That's what we find in the life of Abraham. He obeyed. And I think part of the things that makes his obedience so strange to us is because nowhere in the story, when you read in Genesis, nowhere in there does the biblical writer give us any insight into what Abraham was thinking or how he felt. You know, did you notice that? To stand out to you? It does to me because of the way we think. We read a story, we hear a story, we hear a testimony, we hear a lot about how a person felt or what they were thinking as they were in the midst of. And there's none of that here. Why isn't there? Because the ancient writer was only interested in one thing. What did Abraham do? The emphasis is on his obedience, not what he thought. Now we're given some insight as we read in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, by the inspiration of the Spirit, says that he reasoned, he argued in his heart that God would raise him from the dead, that if he was faithful and did what God commanded him to do, that God had the power to bring his son back and that he would be resurrected and God will fulfill his promise. But we're not told anything in the text. Abraham simply obeyed because obedience is the issue. Five characteristics of biblical obedience that we pull out of the life of Abraham, and it's the kind of thing that ought to mark our obedience. First, his obedience was a prompt obedience. Abraham's obedience was immediate. If you go back to Genesis 17, there Abraham was commanded to circumcise all the males of his household. And verse 17 says, on that very day, Abraham obeyed the command. That's not an easy thing to obey. It's not an easy thing to obey in the context it's given. But Abraham obeyed, and he obeyed immediately. That day, he didn't say, can I think about that? Can I get back to you on that? Can I see what I was involved? God, if you command it, I'll do it. Then in chapter 21, he was commanded to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And the text says, early the next morning, at the first opportunity, Abraham saddled the donkey and he sent them on. Abraham's obedience was a prompt obedience. In chapter 22, when that awful word is given about sacrificing his son, we read, early the next morning, Abraham set on his way. At first light, again, at the first opportunity. That is an amazing thing about his obedience, that it is a prompt obedience. Now, I would certainly understand if he drug his feet. I think we'd all give him a pass if he struggled to obey, and it took him a day or two, or it took him a little while to work through it emotionally and get to the point where he was able to do what God called him to do. But there's none of that. God said, do it, and at the first opportunity, he obeyed. It is a prompt obedience. We wouldn't blame him if he had to think about it, but his obedience was immediate. In fact, the interesting thing is whenever God comes and calls to Abraham, his response is, here am I. Implied in that is, what do you want? What's your command? I'm ready to obey. I'm willing to obey even before he hears the command. It is a prompt obedience. Second, it's not only prompt, it is a steadfast obedience. And the great example of that is here in chapter 22. At the first light, at first opportunity, they set out. Now, it's a 3-day journey. I mean, we get the impression that God called and said, go do this, and he went out and did it. It was just a morning outing. 3 days they had to travel to get to the point where he's going to make the sacrifice. Now, I want to suggest to you, given the context, given the command, 3 days is an eternity. 3 days to think about it. Now see, we're told of one time when Isaac said, we have the fire, we have the wood, where's the lamb? I don't think that's the only time he asked it. I think he asked it multiple times. And I think day after day after day on that 3 day journey, Abraham had to hear his son ask, where's the sacrifice? And he had to say over and over again, God will provide. Steadfastness in his obedience. It may not sound like much, but I think it's important, especially in our context, because in the American church, we have a great need for sustained, continued obedience. Because we're great beginners and poor finishers. We start out, but we don't stay for the long haul. And there are believers in other parts of the world that it's a long, steady obedience. And we want everything now. We want everything instant. It's prompt, but it's steadfast. We're quick to jump on the bandwagon. We just don't want to stay for the full ride. Abraham promptly obeyed and was steadfast in his obedience. Third, it was a willing obedience. Now, how do I know it was a willing obedience? Well, I take that from what he says to his young men when they reach the point they're going to be left behind and he's going to go alone with Isaac. Do you remember what he said to him? The boy and I will go worship and then we'll come back. He considered the offering of his son an act of worship. It's a willing obedience. Now, again, that may sound like a redundancy, obedience, willing, but you can obey without it being willing. You can obey begrudgingly. You can drag your feet complaining through the whole thing. And you obeyed. He willingly obeyed. He gave himself to it, heart and soul. Fourth, it was a settled obedience. Just when you read the account of the whole thing, it you just know he's committed and it's matter of fact with him going to do this. Again, this comes after 40 years of walking, not a week after being called to leave Ur of the Chaldees. A lifetime of walking and experiencing the grace, the power, the mercy, the goodness, the wisdom of God. And so he settled in his obedience. There's nothing in his action, there's nothing in his voice that caused suspicion or concern for Isaac or those young men that were with him. He understood that God could be trusted. He believed that God would provide, and so he was faithful. That's the message in Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. And that's a lesson we would do well to learn. The fifth characteristic is that his obedience was contagious. What do I mean by that? How old do you think Isaac was? We don't know, because we're not given a time reference. Most say, well, he was at least a teenager. Some say he might have been as old as in his 30s. I can tell you this, however old he was big enough and strong enough to take a 100-year-old man if he wanted to. But But there's nothing in the text to in any way indicate that Isaac ever resisted his father in the process. Now that's astonishing to me. I don't know how he did it. Son, you want to lay down? I need to tie you up. Tie me up for what? Well, just get up on this pile of sticks. That's an altar. Yeah. Just lay down up here. I need to tie you up. He obeyed. Why? I suspect it's because however old Isaac was by this time, he had watched his father's obedience. And he watched his father's faith. And when his father said, "This is the will of God," he accepted it as the will of God. Abraham's obedience was a contagious obedience. So he was obedient. He learned it from his father. As we think about God's call, God's command, and our submission, we understand that biblically, obedience is prompt, steadfast, willing, settled, and contagious. So ask yourself, is that how people would describe my faith? The people I work with, the people in my family, the people who are closest to me, that they watch me, they listen to me, they hear the way I talk, and they see the way I live, really and honestly, not what I'm putting on at church, but who see me even at my worst. When it comes to my faith, would they first of all say, "He's obedient. He lives what he believes." And would they say that obedience is prompt, steadfast, willing, settled, and contagious? Does your obedience inspire others to obey? It's a difficult question to ask yourself. Too often, as I give honest thought to my own obedience, I don't like the answer. But I pray that I might become more like Abraham in the area of obedience. But more than that, that I would become more like the Lord Jesus, who said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done."
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.